So now the weather, who are those idiots who decided to put the Capitol in Washington, D.C.? It ought to be in Palm Beach, shouldn't it?
Well, it should be, because the weather did cause some disruptions yesterday to the swearing-in process and to the voting for speaker that accompanied that process.
And, of course, this whole process of being sworn in, and lots of folks walking through the halls of Congress for the first time. Did you have any first-time people who took part in your third swearing-in?
We did have a couple of visitors that came in and had not been to Washington before. And, of course, like most of us that come up here for the first time, you know, they're just in awe of the way the process works and all the things that are going on. It was a lot of fun to be able to show them around.
Of course, I guess the center of the news yesterday was the reelection of John Boehner as Speaker of the House. First of all, I'm sure folks would like to know how you voted and why.
Right. I voted for Speaker Boehner. And the reason for that is there's a two-part process to pick the Speaker of the House. After the elections in November, each side caucuses on among themselves, the Democrats in one area and the Republicans in another area, and you pick your nominee for Speaker. And then after you pick your nominee for Speaker, then you come to the floor in January on swearing-in day, and you have the vote that formalizes that selection for Speaker. We had a little drama yesterday because some folks decided that they didn't want to honor the process that is used, and they decided to try to elect somebody else other than John Boehner yesterday. And so it was a little bit of a disruption, but they weren't successful in doing it.
And of course, as they say, to the victor goes the spoils. He made some changes in a couple of committees because of that.
He did. That's correct. Now, I will say this about Speaker Boehner. In the past, there have been situations like this where people have been disruptive in votes, or they have been, or they haven't supported him for Speaker, and he's never really done anything about it. Now, if it had been under when Dick Armey and Tom DeLay were running the House, those people would have been gone from every
right.
committee. So he's been pretty tolerant, and so I was a little bit surprised at what he did yesterday, but he's usually been fairly tolerant.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. But one of the things we were talking about earlier this morning, it's interesting because in Texas, we probably will have a more conservative House and Senate than we've ever had. Can call them Tea Party people if you want to or whatever. But
The United States House represents that as well.
Well, but they're not getting the foothold in D.C. as I think they would have liked to have had. Obviously, I know Louie Gohmert didn't think he was going to get elected, but he certainly wanted to have another voice out there or another choice when people voted for Speaker. What does that cause Boehner to have to do to at least be listening to the possibly conservative shift that's taking place within his party?
Well, the shift is already happening, and the U.S. House of Representatives is much more conservative today than it was back in 2008, before when Nancy Pelosi was the Speaker. And so if the process had been done the correct way, if we had mounted a challenge to John Boehner, his Speaker, back in November and had replaced him, then that would have been more successful. But as a result of trying these last-minute theatrics on the floor, it doesn't help our conservative voice when we move forward. It actually diminishes it. And so that's the reason I didn't like the way the process that these folks were trying to execute. It wasn't going to win. B, they didn't put up any credible candidates for Speaker. And then C, the process says you do this in November. And nobody stepped up. Nobody showed the fortitude and the courage to step up and run for Speaker and to have this back in November. And as a result of that, you've got a bunch of people that are embarrassed, and you put the institution in a bad light. And instead of getting off on a strong foot and talking about the bill we passed yesterday, Hire More Heroes, everybody's talking about the Speaker election. We're going to have a Keystone Pipeline vote this week. That's more important, actually, than the Speaker election.
Oh, certainly. Well, again, that was the focal point yesterday. Yeah, let's go back and talk about that, and I do want to talk about XL, but the vote that you took yesterday, tell us about that.
We passed the Hire More Heroes Act. It was one that passed a bill that passed on a bipartisan basis in the last Congress. It basically says if you're a small business that has a heavy number of veterans in it who are covered by TRICARE, those people don't count against you for the Obamacare calculations, where small companies are required to provide Obamacare for their employees. And it was something that we passed in the last Congress, and it went to the Senate, and Harry threw it in the trash can. It passed yesterday with over 400 votes, and we're going to send it to the Senate. And I would imagine the Senate will pass in a couple of days. And we'll let the president chew on this a little while. Is he for more jobs and better paychecks for Americans by stopping Obamacare's impact on small businesses? Or is he for whatever it is he's for, this leftist agenda that he's got? And, you know, one of the things, back to this election for Speaker, we all need to remember that the enemies of freedom and opportunity and liberty for hardworking American families are President Obama and his leftist allies. It's not anybody in our side of the aisle in the House or on our side of the aisle in the Senate. We've got to quit fighting among each other and start fighting the real enemies of freedom and opportunity and liberty.
The White House says that the president's going to veto the Republican bill that would alter the definition of full-time work under Obamacare from 30 hours to 40 hours each week. What are your thoughts there?
Well, it's another example. I mean, his threatened veto of Keystone, his threatened veto of fixing the hourly problem that comes out of Obamacare, are indicative of he cares more about, you know, he professes he has this compassion for the middle class and for the economic plight that he's put them in. If he really did, that he would sign these bills. He wouldn't veto these bills. Because when he vetoes these things, he hurts job creation in this country, and that directly affects these hardworking American families whose incomes have gone sideways over the last 6 years and whose costs have gone up.
Now, I'll make a bold prediction. The pipeline, XL pipeline, will pass in the House. It'll pass in the Senate, but it's going to get vetoed by the president, and the Senate probably doesn't have the 67 votes for the override.
My gut is a little different. My gut tells me that we can have an override in the Senate. This is a very popular project among the American people. I mean, it's got 70-80% approval among the American people, including unions. And it will be interesting to see if the Democrats in the Senate decide to align themselves with the environmentalists or align themselves with the unions that need jobs. And so it will be a fascinating thing to observe. I really think that we've got a good chance that the Senate will override. Well, I know the House will.
Now, that would be stunning, obviously, for the new Republican House and Senate control to override the first presidential veto of this new setup. Would be pretty stunning news, I would think.
And I would look forward to it because, I mean, we've got to stop this anti-job program that the president's got. I mean, he's obviously worried about what we're getting ready to do because he's out flying around the country trying to pitch all his old snake oil that he's tried the last 4 years that haven't been, or the last 6 years that haven't been very successful.
Anything else that y'all are going to take action on before we talk again next week?
Well, we've got a variety of things that we're going to be working on, but they fall under the themes of, you know, trying to repeal and fix Obamacare. Fix is not the right word. Nibble around the edges to make it less damaging until we can put a replacement up. We also need we'll have the Keystone vote. We'll have some more energy votes. We've got a lot of good stuff over the next 2 weeks. Looking farther than the next 2 weeks, the GOP conference or GOP retreat, along with the Senate, will happen in a couple of weeks. And at that point in time, we'll sit down as a group of Republican senators, Republican House members, and sort of plot the course for the next several months in terms of a legislative agenda beyond that. But it'll all be focused on jobs and paychecks. It will be focused on trying to put the federal government back into its limited constitutional box, balancing the budget, restoring our national security, and protecting our values. And those are the things that we'll be focused on. I know I became the chair of the RSC, the Republican Study Committee, yesterday. We have our first meeting today, and that's the type of an agenda that we're going to lay out.
Do you have anything specific about that meeting today that you'd share with us?
Well, sure. I mean, one of the things is we're going to talk about how we move forward. And one of the things, we as the RSC, need to be united behind a legislative agenda. And so we're going to have what I call a mini retreat next Monday. And we're going to invite all of our RSC members to come and sort of lay out what we think the conservative legislative agenda ought to look like. And that way we've got that packaged up and ready to go so that at the end of next week, when we're at the GOP retreat, we can lay that out for the GOP membership as a whole. Now, we make up 2/3 to 3/4 of the total House membership of the GOP. And so I think we'll be able to have a significant influence in what happens legislatively. There's also a similar group in the Senate called Senate Steering Group that's led by Mike Lee. And Mike Lee and I have already been talking about how we can coordinate our efforts in terms of what the Senate Steering Group does and what the Republican Study Committee does in order to advance conservative solutions for the American people.
Sure. Well, based on the comments of Sean and Rush yesterday, they're watching you, and they do want to see a change, that's for sure. So we'll enjoy talking to you about that next week. Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Appreciate the time this morning, Bill.
You bet, Scott. I'd ask our listeners continue prayer for our country and our military men and women.
Absolutely. Thanks.